A former president of the Norwegian Academy of Sciences and historians from England, Egypt, Germany, and India have come up with some pretty startling statistics. Since the year 3600 BC, the world has known only 292 years of peace. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars, small and large, in which 3.64 billion people have been killed. The value of property destroyed would pay for a golden belt, which would reach all the way around the world, 97.2 miles wide and 33 feet thick. And since 650, there has been 1,656 arm races, only 16 of which didn't end in a war, and the remainder of those 16 went down in economic collapse. It is very apparent as I read those statistics that we as humans have been born into war. Or it simply speaks to the truth that there's always been a great unseen war going on. And over the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the reality of spiritual warfare. We have looked at trying to raise our awareness of it. We have worked at gaining an understanding of our enemy and our arsenal. And today we're going to wrap it up by looking at what the aim is, what God has called us to do, and what our goal in the battle is. So once again, we're going to start in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, page 952, again, 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in this heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and hasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so, again, we're gonna wrap up by looking at what the aim of what we're about, what our role is in this spiritual battle. And we're going to start Ephesians, that first part, Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. And right there, finally, be strong. Be strong. Because the reality of our situation is that this war isn't just about today. It's not just about this week. It's not even about this year. We are in war, and we will be in war for the duration of our life's journey. We don't get to escape that until Jesus Christ comes back or until Jesus Christ calls us home. This is our reality. And when we look at that concept of be strong, again, we read it in the English language, and we have connotations, and we would define that in a specific way. But when we look at the original language, two things speak to this idea. First, the word itself means endure with strength. So it's not just about the idea of being strong. Again, we see this idea that within endurance, it's not just a be strong right here and now, but we have to be able to endure over a period of time. Again, pointing to that fact that the battle, we go through different battles, but the war is until the end, until Jesus Christ comes back. But I think the more significant part of the original language is there's different tenses that original Greek would be in, and this is in the passive tense, which would makes this really mean to be continually strengthened. So getting it up and being strong in just one place isn't good enough. Knowing a battle's coming or knowing that something, you're going to step out in faith and you're going to do something for the cause, so you quick hit the weights and you get all strong and you're good to go. This verse is saying, look, here we're going to be at war, so you need to be continually strengthening yourself. You don't get a vacation on this. You don't get to step off. You don't get to get to a certain part in your faith and go, I've arrived, so I'm good. The Bible is clear over and over again, and this is one of those places that talk about we need to be continually strengthening. And not only is God calling us this, to this continually working to be strong so that we can go to war, he is calling to, there's a word in several of these different verses, 11, 13, twice in 13 and 14. So you may be able to, what? Stand. Verse 13, stand. The end of verse 13, stand. Verse 14, stand. Do you think God's serious about this? Do you think God has an expectation of you within this cosmic war for you to stand? Because here's the thing, again, just like I said, against the strength thing, I think sometimes we get to a certain point in our faith and we're like, whew, you know, maybe God, you've gone through a season where God has really grown you and you've dealt with some things in your life, and we get to the point we want to rest, we want to chill, we feel like we've arrived at some point. This standing component doesn't mean we get to just stand, because it's in the context of this war. And so there's this expectation. And again, when we look back at the original language, it's not just vacationing. It is meaning that you are not giving up any more ground, that we have to stop the enemy from advancing his kingdom. Now, I won't ask you, if you look at the globe and in the world, if you feel like Satan is advancing his kingdom or not. I think we can point to specific areas that it appears like very much so, but then you can look at other places globally where the cause of Christ seems to be advancing. So in the grand scheme of things, you know, to ask that question, are we winning or losing at any given moment? I don't think that's really what we need to be focusing on, because again, God is doing his thing and we are called to simple obedience. But how are we to be continually strengthening ourselves? How are we to continually be making sure that we are standing? Well, we've been talking about it the last couple weeks. Number one, an awareness. You cannot be strong, you cannot stand if you don't have a clue about the spiritual war that is going on around you. We spent that whole first week talking about our need to be aware, our need to be able to understand the spiritual things that are going on around us, being able to see the influence and discerning what the Holy Spirit tells us. We need an awareness. We need to remember that this is a spiritual, not a physical thing. And why that isn't so important, because people are not the enemy. As bad and as evil and as low down, dirty people are not the enemies, they're pawns. The true evil is the powers and the authorities and all the rulers and all those things that we read about in there. It's not a physical fight. Yes, it can manifest itself in physical ways, but ultimately it's a spiritual fight. And then we looked at about Satan and all he brings to the table and how he operates. Then last week we looked at that again, how we are to stand firm, and we have to be able to do that. And the only way we can stand firm is by putting on that full armor of God, the helmet, the shield, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, all those things, but also that we need to be training with our weapons. And that's a significant, I mean, all that stuff that we talked about last week, and I hope that throughout the week the Holy Spirit allowed you to reflect and think about those things and challenge you in your own faith, because, I mean, that's a regular occurrence that we need to continue to make sure that we're suited up. But here's the thing, even that, you're suited up, you're training in the Word, you're training with your weapon, that's not the end, because here it is. We also need to be empowered. It's one thing to be aware, it's one thing to be armed, but if you don't have any power, you're still in trouble. Last week I made the comment, don't be a Christian streaker, right? Don't go into the war just with your helmet on. I also told you don't run into the war all suited up but having no clue how to use your weapon. I'm going to go one farther. You might be all suited up. You might even have your weapon and a decent amount of training. But if you're this big and I'm this big, I'm going to probably kick the crap out of you. Why? Because you don't have the power that you need. So we as Christians we don't have to fear Satan, but don't underestimate his power. And I mean, I think that's one of his things that he likes to do. He likes to undermine the ways that he's involved with things, that we don't recognize him. And so we need to be powered up. Again, if we're going to stand and we're going to be strong, we need power to do so. So how do we get it? Well, look at these next few verses. I should have told you to keep it open, but 9:52. This is 6:18 through 20. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. And look, these verses are not following up this by some mere coincidence. God is telling us something very important, and it goes hand in hand with the stuff that we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks. Because in order to be empowered for the battle, we need to be praying. There is no substitute for it. You can't work around it. There is something in the power of prayer, and you can only get it from praying. Look at verse 18. That first line. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. There's the bottom line. Prayer equals power. I have said it before. I have not been convinced otherwise that as a Christian, praying is the most powerful way that you can influence the world around you. It's the most powerful thing that you will ever do. Stack what you bring to the table against Satan and you are doomed. Stack you praying up in tapping the power of God against Satan, now we have a battle. Prayer. Again, armor and weapon, but no power, you're not going to get very far. We need all three. But it says specifically, it says, pray in the Spirit. What is this telling us to do? Well, here's the thing. So when we decide we are drawn to prayer, so we go and we're going to pray in something. And we're all guilty of this, so if I'm offending you, then I've done it as well. And we start to rattle off stuff that we think we understand or we think we know what we're asking God for, right? So we see this situation, we think we have it all figured out, we think we know exactly what God is supposed to do in that. Friend, I will say 99% of the time, you don't have all the information. It's probably 99.9% of the time. Most of the time, you don't know what to truly pray for. That's just the reality. Why? Because you are a very limited human being with a very limited scope and very limited power. If that hurts your ego, then good. Then maybe that's why God has you here this morning. But we are limited. And so when it's telling us to pray in the Spirit, we need to partner up. Because we're not to pray in our own understanding. We're not to pray in our own ability. We are to pray under the influence of Almighty God, because the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Again, if we're honest, the majority of the time, even when we think we know what we should be praying for, we're wrong. The Spirit always knows what we should be praying for because the Spirit is in communion with the Father and Jesus at all times. If God the Father is omnipotent, meaning he knows everything, guess what? So is the Spirit. The Spirit knows every little thing that is going on in the situation you have been called to pray for. The Spirit will lead us. The Spirit will guide us. The Spirit will intercede. Even we don't have a clue. Have you ever had this opportunity? You just know that you're supposed to be praying for these people and you don't have any idea. You just feel like, I'm supposed to be praying for them. I don't even know what's going on. It doesn't matter. You don't have to know one iota about the situation in order to bring God's power on it. God puts someone in your mind and says you need to be praying for them. You don't have to call them. You don't have to text them. You don't have to ask them their situation. All you have to do is go to war, go on your knees, and pray for that person. The Spirit will take care of the rest. I mean, think of this. We've been talking about war. And I'm sure if you've watched any movies about war, you've seen this, right? The camera goes in, and it goes into this tent. And in the middle of the tent, there's this massive map. And there's commanders all the way around it. And they have these little statues of things that represent battalions and platoons and different stuff. And they have that long stick, and you know, and they're strategizing and they're pushing the stuff because they're what? They're coming up with a strategy of how to win the war. You're not in the tent. You're just a soldier. You're out on the front line. And all you see is what in front of you, but our commander has a picture of the entire battle. Our commander fully understands everything's at stake. He knows better than we do what's going on. He knows what needs to be done, and he knows what your role in it is. So don't just pray on what you think you know. We need to be going to the Spirit and allow him to lead us and guide us in our prayers. That's the only way we're truly going to get power. We also see here the idea, it says, to keep alert. I think I mentioned this last week. Why? You're at war, and Satan's not going to clue you in on when he's going to attack you. It's not going to happen. So again, there's no such thing as the Christian vacation. I'm sorry if that bursts your bubble. We don't get to just go, all right, I'm at a point, we're good. We have to be alert. We have to be watching out because he's going to attack. But finally, we see always perseverance, supplication for all the saints. So how much are we going to be, are we to be praying? Persevere in it. Look, if God calls you to pray about something, if you're walking along, you're grasping hold of this, the more mature you become in your faith, the more you realize how important prayer is. Again, maybe God pops that person's face in your brain and says, you need to be praying for this brother. You need to be praying for this sister. You have to pray for that person, and two things happen. Either God answers this prayer and he clues you in, or he cuts you loose. If he doesn't do either of those things and you stop praying, then you have failed in your duty. We need to be praying, persevering in prayer. And I will tell you, we live in a short attention span society. And I'm sure that most of you probably struggle like I do. I know that I'm supposed to be praying for someone, and I do it for a while, and eventually you don't hear something or nothing changes, and we just stop. If God's called you to pray for someone, stick through it. And here's the other thing we see here, right? For all the saints. For all the saints. I'm going to ask you guys something, even though I'm going to know that it's going to make some of you squirm. How much do you pray for the people you share the pew with? Honestly, just answer that between you and the Holy Spirit. How much are you praying for your own church? I'm not going to have you look around. You guys sit in the same section, so you know who's in your sphere of. But seriously, hear this, always persevere in the supplication for all the saints. Get that idea. I mean, are you locking shields with them? Are you circling the wagons? Are you going to battle and helping each other out? And here's the thing, I don't think I can undersell this fact. You need to be doing this for your brothers and sisters in this church. You need to be specifically praying for one another. And here's the thing, this isn't just about safety. Yes, we're at war, right? And so we use that phraseology from the Old Testament. We're going to pray a hedge of protection. We pray to bind the evil one. We pray that he would stay away. Those are all great prayers, but they don't go far enough. Look at the 19 and 20. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. If you are not praying along these lines for your pastor, you are failing me. If you are not praying this for one another, you are failing your church brothers and sisters. When was the last time you prayed for anyone that you share the pew with for kingdom opportunities and the boldness to step up and do what Christ has called them to do? Boldness. Pray that I might declare it boldly. You want to know why the church in America is failing? We don't pray for each other like this. We pray for safety in marriage. We pray for safety in family. We pray that God would bless and protect Those are all fantastic prayers. But if you are falling short, then we are missing a main component. I am not praying that God makes you comfortable. I am praying that God gets you out there in boldness, that you will share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that he is calling you to talk to him about. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Do you think that could be true here? What would our church look any different if every person that calls Living Hope their home was praying daily that this would happen? Do you think it'd look any different? So how do we stay strong? How do we stand? It's power. And how do we get that power? It's from prayer and praying for each other. Because here's the thing. Satan wants you scared. He wants you feeling inadequate, and he wants you focused on your own wants. Prayer gives us the power to stand against all that and a whole lot more. And here's the thing. That stand means we need to stop the advancement of Satan's kingdom. But the Bible doesn't just stop there. Look at Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you understand what this verse is telling us? I don't want you to miss one. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, this verse speaks of power, just like we've been talking about. It speaks of victory. Yes, we are in a war. We can't deny it. But you know what? We already know who won. We sang it this morning. You wear the victor's crown. You are on the winning team. Yeah, we don't know how long it's going to be before Christ comes back or how long before Christ calls us home. But we exist in that mode because of victory. We can claim that. But this also speaks to a mindset and to an aim that we must have. We cannot be satisfied with merely slowing Satan down or even just maintaining the ground we have. We are called to advance, to fight, to push forward, to take the beach, to gain ground. If you are just sitting back, comfortable in your faith, you're missing it. We are to lean in. I mean, the gate is a what? A gate is a defensive thing. And Jesus Christ says, the church will tear down, move through, push through the gates of hell. Now, what is this practically saying, though? I mean, hell we know is a spiritual place, so it's not a physical. We can't gather up and go attack it in some way. So what is it talking about here? Think about it like this. We as Christians are called to storm a castle to save the prisoners there that are held in bondage inside. Get that picture. We are storming a castle. Because the truth is, when people come to the saving, transformative power of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell and the bondage to sin have been breached in their lives. This is what this means. Helping people come to Jesus. Attacking the gates of hell means praying for others, inviting others, and engaging others about the matters of faith. Does that sound familiar at all? Have you been hearing that lately? I mean, when we talk about being at war, we need to understand that we are at the war for the souls of mankind. So I'm just going to leave you with a question this morning before we go to communion. Are you prepped and ready? Are you fulfilling your role in the great conflict? Brothers and sisters, we are at war. Whether you like the idea or not, you cannot deny it. You cannot ignore it. You cannot miss it because the stakes are too high. This morning, our almighty commander is calling you out to armor up, power up, and take your place in the good fight. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God. Lord, we know this to be true, but if we are honest with you, we struggle with this. We look at ourselves as inadequate. We look at ourselves as broken. And when we do that, we shortchange you. Because the Bible is very clear, and we've looked at that idea that greater are you than he that is in the world. You have already staked victory, and our job is simply to obey, and to walk in line, to armor up, to go to war, and fight for the souls of men. And yet you know, Lord, how timid we are, and how often we get wrapped up into our own stuff, Lord. So I pray for boldness and opportunity for every person sitting here listening to this, Lord, that you would unsettle us in our comfort. That right now there would be faces of people that are lost that they know and they care about would pop into their heads, and that you would convict them of the fact that you need to be, they need to be sharing you with them. And Lord, I know in my humanity that sounds harsh, but that's what's at stake. And so, Lord, just for all of us, help us to just allow this word to seep and penetrate into our hearts and minds, that just daily we would have that growing awareness of what life is truly all about. And we would have a new boldness, we would have a new courage, that we would seek your kingdom and seek to play our roles in everything that you have for us. So as we take this time of communion, Lord, in the quietness, just speak to our hearts and minds. You know what you have for each of us, Lord. And just, I would ask that you would give us ears to hear, give us hearts to listen, convict us, and give us the power to move forward in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.